We're holding on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis by the Mishnah, so the, about the middle of the Amud. Mishnah says, Yavam Katan Shabal Yavam Aktana. If, now we learned before that Yibum is, we learned before that a nine-year-old, a boy, and older than his Bia is considered Bia. So we said he's capable of doing Yibum to a certain extent. We learned earlier in the Masechta that Tosfos learns that it's only Dirabanan, and Rashi in some places learns that it may even be Daraisa. Whatever the case, though, it's not really a full Yibum. A full Yibum would only take place after he's become, after he's 13. So Yavam Katan Shabal Yavam Aktana. So if he as a Katan has relations with her as a Aktana, So a proper Yibum has not really been done, and you can't divorce because a Katan is not able to give a get. Therefore, Yigdalu Zayim Zeh, let them grow up with one another. After that, once they be, in other words, they can stay married, they can stay together, and once they become Bar and Bas Mitzvah respectively, then they can decide whether they want to do, whether what they want to do, whether they want to give, whether he wants to give her a get, or whether they want to stay married. V'chein, similarly, Ba Yuvama Gdola, the same way, if it was a cotton and Yuvama was a Gdola and he had relations with her, same thing, Tigad Lenu, let her raise him, and again, eventually, when he becomes Bar Mitzvah, then they can decide what to do. Another din, Ha Yuvama Sha'omra B'Sech Shloshim Yom Lo Nivalti, if the Yuvama says during the first 30 days after the Yuvama married her, that we haven't had relations. Now, the Gemara is going to explain that we're talking about where she has a get in her hand. So the question becomes then, what is the nature of this get? She's claiming we haven't yet had relations, meaning that this get only covers the mimer. There still has to be done something for the zika, namely that I need chalitza. Whereas he's saying, no, I actually had relations with you, and now this is a regular get. So now you're free to go. So within the 30 days. There's a good chance, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that he has not, in fact, had relations with her. And we know until he does, then the Yibum has not been accomplished. No. That was the first case. This is just a regular Gadol and Gadol.
They didn't have relations in the first 30
She's
days.
Claiming that they haven't had relations in the first 30 days, right.
And believe her because that's more likely.
We're going to say in the Gemara because it's more likely that within 30 days, he may have held back, as we'll see in the Gemara, yeah. So therefore, we force him to give her chalitza because we accept that her claim is more likely to be true, and therefore she needs chalitza as well as the get. But if it's after 30 days, then it's less likely that what she's saying is correct. It's more likely that in fact he did have relations with her. So we believe him. So instead, we ask him to give her chalitza. We say, in other words, basically, you know, if she obviously doesn't want you, go give her chalitza and let her go free. But we don't demand it. We don't force him to do it. He says, after all, I did be'ila. There's no reason I should have to do chalitza. And after all, he has a valid counterclaim that he doesn't want to do chalitza. And we've shown him give a couple of reasons why. First of all, Tosfos says it's embarrassing that she's going to have to spit in front of him in Beis Din. So he doesn't want to go through with that. The Nemuka Yosef also points out, he may say, listen, I'm claiming that I had relations with her. If all I have to do is give her a get, that still leaves open the possibility that later on I may be reconciled with her and be able to remarry her. And as long as she hasn't married anybody else in between, he'll be able to do that. As opposed to if I give her chalitza, then she's off limits to me forever and I don't want to do that. On the other hand, so why does
she... And what about if he's a Kohen?
If it's a Kohen, that's different. Maybe, in fact, in that case, based on the Nemuka Yosef's reason, maybe for a Kohen actually would be different.
Can he remarry her?
Well, obviously not. No, a Kohen can't marry a Grusha. Yeah.
Even if he gave her the get that before he was Bar Mitzvah, he cannot give a get, you're saying?
No. Before Bar Mitzvah, he can't give a get, period. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, this is a separate case. First, we talked about the case of a Katan and a Katana, or the case of a Katan and a Gdola. Now we're talking about they're both Gdolim, but she's claiming that he didn't have relations with me during the first 30 days. So now, after 30 days, we say he's claiming that he did. So therefore, because then the Gemara is going to say, we don't expect that that it's going to go as long as 30 days without him doing that. Therefore, it's more likely that he did. So now what happens is, why does she need a get at all? Is because, so she wants chalitza because it's called shavisa l'naf shachaticha di isura. She in effect have said that I am also to everybody else without chalitza. So therefore, she wants chalitza in order to take care of that problem. However, since that was her initiative that did that, and he's disagreeing, and it's after 30 days, so we have more of a chazaka that most likely he did have relations with her, then therefore we can't force him to give chalitza, we can only ask him to. But if he doesn't want to, then we can't do anything further. Continues
the Mishnah. And she's stuck forever?
Well, until they figure out what the situation is, either we find out that she's lying, and in fact they did have relations, and in that case all she needs is a get, or it turns out that he's lying and they didn't have relations, and then
one of them has to tell the truth.
It's not really the case of an aguna, because here it's just a matter one or the other of them is saying something untrue. Continues the Mishnah.
But she's still stuck. What are we doing about that?
What we're doing about it is we have to find out what the story is. We're going to try to ferret out the facts. But until we once the facts are established one way or the other, then we'll know what needs to be done. Meanwhile, if we can get him to give her chalitza, so much the better. If not, then if not, if he insists, I don't want to do chalitza, I don't want to be spat at in front of, like Tosfa says, or I want to have the possibility open to remarry her, like the Nemuka Yosef says, and she's meanwhile insisting, no, I need chalitza, and he's saying, but it's after 30 days, then there's not a lot we can do. I mean, he has a valid claim. It would be like any other case of Dine Momenus where you have counterclaims. All we can do is try to find out the facts. Anyway, let's go on.
But the Beis Din cannot force him.
No, well, that's the point. We can't force him because there's much more reason to believe that his claim is true. Of his man shahu moida. Now, if he agrees, if he admits that in fact I've not had relations with her yet, then even if it's 12 months later, we force him to give her chalitza because at that point we know the fact. They're both agreeing that in fact they haven't had relations. And again, as we're going to say in the Gemara, we're talking about over here where in fact she actually already has a get in her hand. So therefore, we know that Yibum was precluded anyway. Continues the Mishnah. Hanederes Hanav Miyavama. Here's another din. Suppose that she made a neder not to have Hanav from her Yavam. So now, if she made that neder, B'chaye Baila, if she made that neder while her husband was alive, so therefore she didn't necessarily have in mind that it's going to preclude her from Yibum. She didn't like her brother-in-law, and therefore she was angry at him and she made such a neder. But it wasn't necessarily meant to preclude Yibum. Nevertheless, the fact is that now her husband has passed away and now she is up for Yibum to this Yavam whom she hates. Therefore, Kofino says she achlitzva. So again, we force him to give her chalitza. La'acha misas baila, but if she made this neder after her husband died, where it's clear that she's doing it in order to avoid Yibum, then we mevachin emenu shiachlitzva. Then again, we ask him to do her chalitza. We don't force him because at that point it's not his fault basically that Yibum is not possible. It's her fault for making such a neder, and therefore all we can do is ask him to give her chalitza, but we can't force him. It's not even a matter of, Tosfos points out, we don't even say that, well, why isn't he made for the neder? And the reason is because he can't be made for the neder until he actually takes her as a wife, namely has relations with her, and the whole point is she's trying to avoid that. So therefore, there's nobody right now who can be made for her neder. If she's mater neder, that's something else, but he can't necessarily be made for. Actually, Tosfos says there may be a machloikas on that point, but even if we say that he could, we could still say that she's the one who took the initiative. She's the one who made the neder in the first place. Therefore, it doesn't make such a chiyuv on him that we should force him. All we can do is ask him. And again, the Mishnah continues, v'im niskavna l'kach afilu b'chaye b'ayla, if when she made the neder, she specifically had in mind, she said, I know that I'm going to soon be up for Yibum because we don't have children. And so she made this neder while her husband was alive to preclude Yibum. Then even b'chaye, afilu b'chaye b'ayla, even if she made the neder while her husband was alive, we still ask him only to give her chalitza rather than forcing him because it's her fault, basically, that Yibum cannot be done there. Okay, so the Gemara starts here. The first case of the Mishnah about the Yovam Katan and the Yovam Ktana. So we had two cases. One was he's a Katan and she's a Ktana. And the other one was he's a Katan and she's a Gdola. And in both cases, we said that's fine. They can still stay married. So now the Gemara says, Lema Masnissin Deloikara Meir. Do we have to say that our Mishnah is not like Rav Meir? Titania, Udiu in the Masechta, we learn, and then we're going to talk about it later. We're going to talk about it later in the Masechta as well, towards the end. Katan uktana lechotzin v'le miyamin divir Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that a katan and a ktana can't do chalitza or yibum. Chalitza because, so first of all, it does say in the Pasuk ish, and we learned in a previous perek, that we can learn also maybe that the same thing applies to an isha, but why not yibum? Because Rav Meir is, we say in many places in Shas, is chayish lemiuta. He's concerned about the miut, and a miut of boys end up being a Swiss chama, where they never develop physically, and a miut of girls become turn out to be an ilonis. He's concerned that it may turn out that he's a Swiss chama or she's an ilonis, and therefore yibum is. Cannot be done in that case, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta. So now it comes out that they've done bia, which is also, because after all, as we know, whenever yibum is not possible, then you have the issue of eishes ach. So the mayor says they can't do yibum. So according to the mayor, how would they be able to stay married in our Mishnah? The answer is afilu tamer of mayor. You could answer still that our Mishnah goes according to the mayor. Kiyomer of mayor gdol lakotna ptana lagado. The mayor is talking about if she's an old, if she's already bas mitzvah and he's a katan or vice versa, the chadminayu bir di surahu, where what happens is that one of them is now doing a bir, which is also, after all, a gadol or gdola is already of the age to be punished for a bir, which is also. So now what happens is, let's say, for example, she's a gdola. So fine, we know that she's not an ilonis, but he might be a Swiss chama who's not able to do yibum. And it comes out, once we find out that he's a Swiss, then it may come out retroactively that she's been doing a bia of isur. Abba, katna, balaktana. But when we have both of them are a katna and a ktana, the tavayu ki adori ninu, neither of them are chayiv in mitzvahs yet. And we're actually going to learn in the next perek, we're going to have a whole discussion on the point of if a katan is doing something of isur, not necessarily do we have to stop him from doing it, because a katan is not bar onshin. Katan oichal nevela said in Shulchan Aruch it's in Siman Shin Mem Gimel. And in Shulchan Aruch it's in Siman Shin Mem Gimel towards the end of Hilchos Shabbos. But we're going to talk about it on Daf Kufyud Gimel, Kufyud Dalet of Amos Sechta in the next day. Anyway, so. So therefore, so you could argue, when it's a katan and a ktana, neither of them is actually chayiv in mitzvahs. So maybe even a mayor wouldn't worry about it. Lo yomar, he wouldn't say that there'd be a problem, because even if it turns out that one of them, that it was a bia of iser, so what? Neither of them is chayiv in mitzvahs yet. The Gemara says, can't be. The next part of the Mishnah says that if he's a katan and she's a gdola, then she should raise him. In other words, they still stay married. And b'pashtus, that means they can still continue to have relations. Fine, but even Rav Meir might say that if they already had relations, b'diavad, then they can stay married. He would say v'hatchila, a katan shouldn't be doing yibum with a gdola, or vice versa, because of the possibility chayish lemiyota, and there might be an issue. But if already they had relations, then he's not necessarily going to say they have to separate. The Gemara says, what do you mean? V'hatigadlenu karmar. But the Mishnah says she should raise him, implying they continue to have relations. And after all, according to the mayor, to call B.O. B.O. D. Surahu, doesn't it come out, according to the mayor, that there's the possibility that every bia is also. After all, if there's the possibility that he's a Swiss chama, then not just the first bia, but every bia after that, until we know that he's not, is potentially an issur. So how could the mayor allow them to stay married? So the Gemara says, you're right. Okay, so it's clear that our Mishnah can't be like Rav Meir. Usually a Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir, but sometimes we have exceptions, and this is one of them. Okay. Next, the question, though, is, even if we don't hold like Rav Meir, Why don't we apply over here the rule? After all, the pasuk says that the purpose of Yibum is to establish a name for the brother. Who a cotton is not capable of that. He's not capable of fathering children yet. So how are we allowing him to do Yibum in the first place? Don't you still have the same, even if we don't say that he might be a Sviskama, isn't that a reason itself to say that at this point the relationship is one that's Osir? The answer is Omar Abaye, Omar Kro, Yavama, Yavayalea, called Yahu. Yeah, but the Pasuk says that the Pasuk says Yavama, Yavayalea, rather than Tosfos says, it could have said Achi Hames, Yavayalea. That means whatever kind of Yavam, even if he's not actually right now capable of having children, but eventually he will be. So a Swiss Chama is one thing. He's not going to be in the future able to have children. Tosfos points out, it's true, we learned earlier in the Masechta, that in principle a Swiss Chama can be cured, but it's not very likely, as opposed to a cotton is highly likely to reach Gadlus, and therefore we can say that even now as a cotton, he's still included in that, he's not yet at the point of Lahokim Lahokim Shem, but nevertheless he's still included in Yibum. Rava says you don't need that. Even without that, you can't possibly say that a cotton would be precluded from Yibum, because how could it be? What would you say? That his brother passed away when he's 10 years old, let's say. So you're going to say that right now, until he turns 13, the Yavama is off limits to him. And then 3 years later, when he becomes 13, now she first becomes mutter to him. Whenever you don't have at the time when the husband dies and she comes for Yibum, that when Yavama Yavayaleha is not possible, when at that point the Yavam is not able to have relations with her, as we had examples earlier in the Masechta, where at the time of his death, for example, she was an erva to him because she was his wife's sister, let's say, then we treat her like a brother's wife who has children, but Asura, and then she's also, meaning, in other words, that the key thing is what happens when the husband dies. What was the scenario then? So if you're going to tell me, says Rava, that, so the same way as, for example, we say earlier in the Masechta, that let's say, so we talked about a case where he's married to her sister, so you have Reuven and Shimon married to two sisters, and Reuven dies, and one of them is up for Yibum to Shimon, where we say she's potter because she's an erva, she's his wife's sister. But even if after the Nefillah, if Shimon's wife were to die, so now she's not an erva to him anymore. Nevertheless, at the time of Nefillah, she was still also. Well, says Rava, by the same logic, if you were to say, and therefore she's also to him forever. By the same logic, you would say that if you were to say that she's also to him as a cotton, then you'd have that at the time of Nefilah, she was also, and later on she becomes mutter. That's impossible. So Gemara says, "Ve'ema hachinami." Okay, so maybe indeed that's the case. Maybe indeed, if the brother was a cotton at the time of Nefilah, maybe in fact she is also to him. How do you know that not? The answer is, "Omakra ki yeshvu achim yachta v'afilah ben yemechem." After all, the pasuk says, when brothers live together in the world, that means, and then Yavama Yavayala, that means even if they live together only for a short amount of time, even if the brother was born only on that day. Now, when he's born only on that day, obviously he's still a cotton. He's going to be a cotton for many years, and still the pasuk is implying that Yibum has to be done. This is, in fact, Tosfos points out, we learned from this towards the beginning of the Masechta, the concept of Eishes Achiv Shloi Hayabayalama, that if after Reuven passes away, Shimon is born, Then we say that Shimon can't do chalitza. Shimon can't do Yibum and doesn't have to do chalitza because he wasn't in the world at the same time as Reuven. But implying if they were in the world at the same time, then chalitza or Yibum, it has to be done, even though he's a cotton.
And this is why Ashmedai cried.
This is why I'm the story of Gitna Ashmedai cried over there. Yes. So the point is that so that limud itself implies that yes, when he's a cotton, even when he's below the age of bia, nevertheless he is mutter to the yavama at the time. Practically speaking, his bia is not a bia until he's 9, and full yibum doesn't take place till he's 13. But therefore, but nevertheless, he is mutter to her, and we don't say that they were also at the time, and he becomes mutter later. Okay, the Mishnah had said yavama sha'amar b'sayishloshim.
We don't make him wait. Her weight.
We do make him wait. What we're saying is, in our Mishnah, if when he was already nine and his bia is a bia, he married the Yavama, then we don't force them to separate. We say if she's a Ketana, then Yigdul is if she's a Ketana as well, Yigdul is Amzer. We let them grow up together. We let them stay married. If she's a Gdola to Gadlenu, then she raises him and eventually he becomes Bar Mitzvah. Yeah, that's the point. In other words, we're not saying that Lachatchila you should do it. Based in Mepashtus wouldn't allow it to be done Lachatchila, but if it's done, then it's done. Mm-hmm. Mishnah said, Yavama Sha'amra B'Sech Shloshim Yom Gomer. That we have the case where the Yavama claims that the Yavam has not yet had relations with her, and we distinguish between whether that claim was within 30 days or after 30 days. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Da'ad Plosin Yomin Muki Inesha Nafshe. Which Tana would it be that says that up to 30 days he might hold himself back and not have relations? That would be according to the Meir. Now, we said before that the previous part of the Mishnah was not according to the Meir. The Gemara is not bothered by that, though, because these are different dinim. The Gemara will often say that how do you have the Reisha is according to one Tana and the Sefer is according to another, but that's when they're on the same topic. Here, they're on different topics, one about a Katan, another one about a different case entirely involving Gedolim, where she says, Aloy Nivaldi, so therefore the Gemara is not bothered by those might be from different Tanoi. Anyway, so Rabbi Yechanan says it would be according to the Meir. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Tainas Besurim. Now, what can happen is we're going to learn in Ksubas in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem, that there can be something called Tainas Besulim, where the husband, after they got married, claims that his wife was not a Besula. Now, he's not claiming that she was Mizana during the Erusin and is also to him or something, but she's saying, I married her as a Besula, and therefore I promised to a Ksuba of 200 Zuz. Turns out that she's not a Besula. I want to renege on that and say that I only owe 100 for the Ksuba. So that's Tainas Besulim. So for
him. Start to the marriage.
So yeah, it's not a very good start to the marriage, but yeah. So Tainus Basilim calls Shloshim Yom Divid Meir. So the Meir says he can make such a claim throughout the first 30 days and claim that I haven't had relations. Divid Meir, Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Nistar Ola Alter. Rabbi Yossi says if she was secluded with him, then he can only make the claim right away. If he claims any time later, then we wouldn't believe him, says Rabbi Yossi, because what likely happened is he had relations with her, he found her a besula, and now he's trying to trump up charges against her because he decided he doesn't like her. Loy nistera, but if they weren't secluded together, after the lach kamashon, and then even many years later, he would be believed. So it's not necessarily 30 days, like Rabbi Meir said. So here our Mishnah is saying 30 days. So it sounds like our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Meir.
Yeah. Which would be a problem.
It's not a problem. We're just saying. No. Chayish Lemiyota is as far as children. Here we're talking about as far as adults. But the question is only whether.
I'm saying it runs through the whole thing like Rabbi Meir.
No. So we said the first part of the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. That's why we said a cotton and a tana. We said,
this one is, and that's this, not.
Yeah, yeah. And again, that's what I'm saying, because they're different. The parts of the Mishnah are talking about completely different dinim, so the Gemara is not bothered by the previous part, might not be like Rabbi Meir, and this part is. So therefore, so Rabbi Yechanan says, so that's it. So it means that part of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, Rabba Omar, Filo Tamer Rabbi Yossi. No, it could even go like Rabbi Yossi. Ad Kan Lekom Rabbi Yossi Hossam El Baru Sose de Gispa. You know what Rabbi Yossi is talking about, where she's his own arusa. He's more familiar with her. So therefore, the likelihood is that probably as soon as they were able to have relations, then he went ahead and did that. Aval Eisha Sochiv Mivzas Bozes Mina. But when it comes to his brother's wife, he's embarrassed of her. So even Rabbi Yossi might say that it might take 30 days for him to become comfortable enough with her to have relations with her. So therefore, during the first 30 days, there's a good likelihood that in fact he didn't. And therefore that the claim is valid that he didn't do that. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Ad shekoyfen oisa lach letzachben al yabim. Why are we forcing him to give her chalitza? In that case, force him to do yibum instead. And the answer is, Amar Rav, b'shegita yotzi mitachas yada. The case is that she has a get in her hand. Now, what kind of get are we talking about? At the moment, we're assuming it means a regular get. But we're going to see soon in the Gemara whether in fact that's what it is. But the point is, so again, like we said in the Mishnah, she's claiming that he gave me a get only that takes care of the maimer or for the zikah, and therefore I still need chalitza to be mutter to marry anybody else. He says, no, we had relations. This is a regular get. Go ahead. So there, but either way, the point is once a get was given, and then once a get was given, then Yibum was precluded. So therefore, there's no question, there's no possibility of forcing him to do Yibum. Okay, the Gemara says Maisi, though I have a contradiction. A Braisa says Yivama Sha'omar B'Seich Shloshim Yom Loi Nivalti. If during the first 30 days she says we've not yet had relations, Ben Shu Omer Baalti, Ben Shu Omer Loi Baalti. No matter what he claims, whether he says I did have relations or whether or not, either way, we force him to give her chalitza. But if she says it after the 30 days, then we said in the, as we said in the Mishnah, we only ask him to give her chalitza. We don't force him because there's a good reason to think that maybe in fact he did already do be'ilah with her. Continues the Braisa with other cases. What if she, the other way around? What if she says we did have relations and he says I did not? How is it yotzi beget? Then he divorces her with a get because she says nivalti, and therefore all I need is a get. Rashi learns that this is talking about after 30 days, and therefore again after 30 days we don't assume that he's held himself back. The likelihood is, even though he's saying loy ba'alti, the chances are that we don't take him at his word, that in fact he was boil, and therefore that a get is enough. Tosfos has a long discussion over here, and many other Rishonim get into a discussion about this and the next few cases of the Braisa, whether indeed all of them are la'acha shloshim, or whether some of them are within shloshim. So Tosfos discusses the possibility that maybe even this second case would be that this second case might actually be the Soich Shloshim. Given that she's saying Nivalti, and therefore get would be enough. And the fact that he's saying Nivalti wouldn't matter. A third case. So that's the second case. Now, what happens again if he says I had relations? She said we did not. Then even if he changes his mind and says that I did not, sort of get chalitza. Then he needs get and chalitza. So he needs get to cover his bia because he says ba'alti. And again, Rashi learns that this is after 30 days. She needs chalitza though because she made herself chaticha beisura. Now, this is in effect the same as the first case of the Braisa, with the exception that there it just says he's in the first case of the Braisa, we're saying that he said Boalti. The difference is we're saying over here that he changes his mind and says Loi Boalti. Either way, the point is that we need a get in Chalitza, a get for the actual Be'ila because we assume it did actually take place, and Chalitza because she's claiming that it didn't and therefore she needs Chalitza. Again, Rashi learns that this is talking about after 30 days, and Tosfos discusses maybe not. Anyway, the point is that we see that the case of our Mishnah is that we're saying that she needs a get and chalitza, implying we're not talking about where she has a get yet. And yet you're telling me before that the case of our Mishnah, which is identical with the first case of the Braisa, is that she has a get already in her hand. So we're back to the question. If she doesn't have a get in her hand, why are we forcing him to do chalitza? Why don't we instead force him to do yibum? And the answer is, Amar Rab Ami, tzricha chalitza im gita. The answer is, Rab Ami says, it doesn't mean that she first needs to give her a get now. It means along with the get which she already has in her hand, she in addition needs chalitza. But we don't mean that he first is giving her a get now. Rav Ashi gives a different answer. There are actually two kinds of get, as we've learned before. She does require another get because the original get that she's holding was only to cover the zika. So that passed her from Yibum, but it didn't accomplish anything as far as making her mutter to marry others. So now, now we can't force him to do Yibum because Yibum at this point is closed off because of that get lazikasa. But he's saying Baalti, so therefore she needs a get for that. Because after all, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, yesh bia achara get, that even though the bia takes place after the get and it's only a bia psula, nevertheless, it still has an effect that on a daraisa level, after all, it was a valid bia, and therefore that it needs a regular get. But in addition, you also need chalitza. And that would be what the Braise is saying. So even though the Braise is saying, even though he changes his mind and says, Loi ba'alti, and therefore you should argue that maybe all she needs is chalitza, nevertheless she needs both a get and chalitza, because maybe in fact he did have relations with her, and even though it was a bia psula, it still requires a get, but then it still requires chalitza as well. Tosfos says something else as well, that even if he says loy ba'alti, still just chalitza is not going to be enough. She's going to need to have the get as a proof that in the future she's going to be able to remarry. Okay, the Gemara says, Hanu shnei amoidim da osu lakamei de Rabba. It happened once that a Yavam and a Yavama came to Rabba, and both of them were agreeing that loy nivala. So first the Yavam had been claiming ba'alti, and then he changed his mind and said, you know what, it's true, loy, and he agrees that loy ba'alti. So Rava says to his Talmidim, okay, arrange for her a chalitza and dismiss her case. In other words, all she needs is chalitza. Don't we learn in a braisa that she needs both? Didn't we learn in the braisa that she needs both get and chalitza? So Rava says, itanya tanya. Okay, if it says in a braisa, then it says in a braisa. Sometimes in the Gemara, that means that he's saying, okay, then you're right, I changed my mind. And in that case, we have to follow the braisa and she needs a get as well. There are some places where an amoda says, itanya tanya. And sometimes it means, if it says a braisa, very nice, but I'm still sticking to my opinion because I hold that the braisa is not so authoritative. So here it could be, either way, I guess. The Gemara says, Bominel Hoin Breder of Nachman or Merab Nachman. Hoin, that was his name. It's interesting. Usually we have Huna. Here it's Hun or Hoin without the Aleph. Anyway, so he was the son of Rab Nachman. So he asked his father, Rab Nachman, Tsarasa Mavu. What if there's a Tsara involved over here? So you have the word there. So Reuven was married to two wives. Reuven was married to two unrelated wives. We'll call them Rachel and Miriam. Shimon married Rachel, and on the face of it, then Miriam is now Potter, because once you do Yibum with one wife from a bias, then that covers all of them. So now later on, you have this claim where Rachel is saying Loi Nivalti. Does that make Miriam now Usser as a result of that? Omalei, sort of Nachman answers in Bechim Ipneshan Kofinim of action to Osset Sarah. What's the logic that you're thinking? Because we're forcing him to give chalitza, or because we're requesting him to do chalitza in order to cover her? Because after all, she made herself a chaticha beisura. Does that mean that because of that, her tzara should be also? No, the chazaka is that when a man marries a woman, he usually has relations with her. That chazaka is strong enough to keep that Miriam is still mutter. Rachel, we're going to have to deal with, she needs chalitza and possibly a get as well, depending on the circumstances. But to go so far as to say that Miriam would be also, we're not going to do that. The Mishnah continued, Hanederas Hanal B'chola. The Mishnah continued that if the Yavama made a neder, that she's also to have Hanal from her Yavam. So we distinguished between whether she made the neder while her husband was alive versus after her husband passed away, versus within that, you could say, what if she made the neder while her husband was alive, but specifically meaning to preclude you? So the Gemara says, Tanan Hasim. So we learn a Mishnah at the end of Nedarim that bears on this. The Mishnah says, "Borishoinu hayu'omim." Originally, the Chachamim said the halacha is shalosh nashim yotzis v'noitlus ksuba. There are three cases where a woman where we make the man divorce the wife, and she's still entitled to her ksuba. Number one, her meres tmei anilach, where she says to her husband, who is a kohen, "I am tamei to you." In other words, I was raped, and therefore I'm also to you. So she doesn't lose her ksuba for reasons that the Gemara discusses. At the end of Nedarim, because she says, in effect, it's kind of your fault. If you had been in Yisrael, there would be no problem. I'd still be mutter to you, but because you're a Kohen, therefore I'm also to you. So it's your problem that I can't that we can't stay married, not mine. Therefore, I haven't forfeited my ksuba by that. That's the first one. The second one is Hashemayim Beini Levenach. She says heaven is between me and you. In other words, that only Hashem knows what's going on between me and you. So Rashi explains, it means that she's saying you're not having a relation with me. Well, since they have to do it in private, nobody else can know the truth of that other than Hashem. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says that in the Gemara in Nedarim says that actually it means that she's saying that you are having relations with me, but you're not yoda kechetz. Your zera is not shooting like an arrow. You're impotent, in other words. Yeah. So, and the third one was if she says netula ani mina yehudim. If she says I'm making a neder that I will not have any relations with any Jews. Now, so therefore, so what does that mean? If she makes such a neder, obviously Tashmish must be very, very difficult or very, very bothersome or painful for her. And therefore, so it's considered an oynes. And therefore, in all three cases, we would say she is entitled to her ksuba. Now, Chazru Loima, the Mishnah continues, the Chachamim later on changed their mind. And they said, Shaloi Tehe Isha Nesenes Enei Ba'acher from Kalkalas Abayla. You can have what could happen that the woman really wants to marry somebody else. And she's making these excuses to get out of her marriage, and she's messing things up for her husband, that she's forcing her husband to divorce her when there's not necessarily a valid reason for it, and it's just because she has her eyes on somebody else. And in particular, Rashi says in the third case, what might happen is she might have made the neder, even though she made a neder to ask her old Jews to herself, maybe she really only did it in order to get out of this marriage. Now she's going to go someplace else where they don't know who she is. They don't know that she made this neder, and she's going to be married. And it turns out that the neder was only in order to get out of a marriage that she didn't like. El, so rather, the Mishnah continues that now there are new dinim of these three cases. In the first case, if she says tmei ani lach, we don't just take her at her word. She has to bring a raya for it. Otherwise, we don't accept her word. When it comes to Hashemai, now in Shulchan Aruch it talks about that maybe you could have if he knows that he can believe her, if he says that he trusts her, maybe in that case he does divorce her and give her a ksuba. Although it's not so simple, especially nowadays with Chenum de Rabbeinu Gershom, where you can't divorce her against her will. So then it becomes not so simple. Anyway, Hashemayim Beini Levenach, if she, the second claim where she says you're not having relations with me or where you're not Yoda Kachet, Yasu Derech Bakosha, so let them arrange it in a way of Bakosha. So that's a few different explanations. Rashi says it means that Beis Din asks the husband, okay, treat her decently and do what you're supposed to do with her. Tosfos brings a couple of explanations from a couple of other explanations. One is that it means they should daven to Hashem to fix up the situation. And another explanation from Rabbi Hanano is we tell him she's obviously very upset with you. Make her a nice suda, and that way she'll be more likely to be on good terms with you. Anyway, but the point is we don't automatically say that he should divorce her. And in the third case, in the Tula, so what happens is Yofer Chelkai, the husband is Mefer his part, because after all, the husband is entitled to be Mefer Nedarim that affect their marital relationship. So he's Mefer the part of the Neder that applies to him. Then they can continue having relations. Now, if we're saying, as we said before, that she's claiming that it's painful for her, obviously, you know, as a decent husband, he should be trying to do something to help with that. But the fact is, she doesn't have the ability to ask herself to him in that, because after all, or rather, she has the ability to make such a neder, but he has the ability to cancel it. Or tehenetulam, and now you heard him. Fine. If in the future he dies or divorces her, then she will be usur in Tashmish or to get married to any other yid. Thus far, the Mishnah.
Didn't work for her.
So now, Iboyalavu. So now the Chacham have a question. In that case, Netula ani mina yehudim lo yavam mahu. In that case, where she says Netula ani mina yehudim, what would be the din as far as her doing yibum? Would we say that the neder includes the yavam we're talking about, where she made the neder while her husband was alive? So does it include the yavam or not? Is there the possibility? So mi maska daita the mayis baila the nafla kame yavam alai. Is it that she has in mind that conceivably her husband might die and she winds up to yibum in front of the yavam? And therefore, so when she made the neder, she specifically had him in mind. So now the husband was only made for his chelet. So now, therefore, she remains also to the yavam. Oiloi, or do we say that not? That what she mean? Maybe what she meant was she's making a neder that anybody who, as soon as her husband dies or divorces her, she would be mutter to him, that she has that in mind. But in other words, what happens is she's making that neder. On the contrary, Rashi says it may be that she's doing it lahofis daita shabayla. She's doing it in order to make her husband feel better. Her husband thinks that she has eyes for somebody else, so she makes a neder. Netula ani mina yehudim. Don't think I ever plan to get remarried after our marriage is over, because I don't want to have any. I hate men and I don't want to have anything to do with them. But maybe she's not having in mind the yavam, because after all, maybe the yavam, she's not going to be mutter to as automatically as so Rashi actually says she's having in mind anybody that she'd be mutter to after she gets divorced. Now, if she gets divorced, obviously the yavam is also to her. So maybe she doesn't have him in mind. Maybe he's not included in the neder in the first place.
How can you make a neder against a positive commandment of the Torah? We saw
because the neder takes effect before that. Because the neder takes effect before that positive commandment takes effect. So therefore, it's similar to the way if a person were to make a neder that matzah is also to me, then when Pesach comes, he can't eat matzah. I as mitzvah to eat matzah, but it's called kolol dvarim amutorim im dvarim hasurim. He combined together in his neder things that are also and things that are mutter, and therefore we say that the neder is chal. So in the same way over here. Anyway, Tosfos has a few problems with Rashi's explanation that Tosfos rather explains that the question is, do we say that she intended to aser herself on the yavam, and therefore, like we said in the Mishnah, we can only ask the yavam to give her chalitza, but we can't force him. Or maybe she did it. Or maybe she didn't do that. And then we're saying that therefore he would actually be able to do yibum, or he would be able to do yibum with her. So Rav Amar Yavam ain't a kabal, or Shmuel Amar Yavam harayu kabal. So it's machlokes. Rav says the yavam is not like the husband, meaning, in other words, that she had in mind the husband when she made the neder, but not the yavam. So therefore, the yavam shall be mutter even without hafara. That's according to Rashi. And according to Tosfos, she didn't even think when she made the neder to answer herself on the yavam. So therefore, but the fact is, she is also to the yavam. So therefore, we would force him to give her chalitza. It would be similar to the case of on Mishnah where she made a neder against her yavama b'chaye baila, where she didn't yet have in mind at the time that it could potentially preclude her from yibum with the yavam, and therefore we would in fact force him to give her chalitza. That's according to Tosfos. Shmuel says the yavam is like the husband. So according to Rashi, it would mean that she is in fact also to the yavam. And according to Tosfos, it would mean that that we would just ask him to do chalitza. Omer Abaya, kavasei de Rav Mistamra. So Abaya says it's more logical to follow Rav. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Hanederes Hanami Yavamah B'chaye Baila. If she makes a neder of Hanah, that she won't have hana from her yavam, while and the neder was made while her husband was alive. Then we say we force him to do chalitza. Now, if you're going to say that she might have had in mind at the time of the neder that it would include the yavam as well, then it should be mevakshin, because there's a good chance that she actually had him in mind. So therefore, you see, it's more likely to say like Rav that she did not intend to have him in mind. So therefore, again, according to Rashi, it would mean that she's mutter. There's nothing that we don't even need to force him to do anything, because she is mutter to him in yibum or in chalitza. And according to Tosfos, the vote would be that we would actually Rav is saying that koyfer knows she yachlutz la. But yeah, if you were to say not like Rav, that then you would have to say mevakshin mena. The Gemara says not necessarily, because hochab mayaskin and beisha sheyesh labonim, because you could be talking about where she has children. And to be technically, the Oruch Haner points out, it's not really if she has children, it's more if her husband has children, but whatever. The kula haile maska daita. To that extent, if when she made this neder, she had children with her husband, and therefore yibum was certainly not going to be happening anyway, the chance that those children would die, and then her husband would die, and therefore she'd be up for yibum, is remote enough that we could say that's the case where she didn't necessarily have in mind the yavam when she made this neder. She had in mind anybody that she'd be mutter to, like Rashi said, if her husband divorces her, and that certainly wouldn't include the yavam, but it also includes, even if it includes anybody that should be mutter to, once her husband dies, fine, she'd still be also to the yavam because they have children. To go to that extent, we wouldn't say. But that doesn't show, so the Gemara says, Abel ein labonim mayim of action. So you're telling me that what, when she makes this neder, even though her husband is alive, if she doesn't have children at that time, then the result would be that we would only ask him to do chalitza, but we wouldn't require it. Well then, add the Tony in the Skabn Lakach to the Bahaya Baila, Mivakshin Menashiachla, then why is the Mishnah only distinguishing between if she had Kavana to include the Yavam or not in her neder, that we say that only in that case, Mivakshin Emena, in that case, Liflig Vilisnibida. The Mishnah could have pointed out a distinction between that case itself of the neder, even if she didn't specifically have the Yavam in mind. When would we say that? When would we say that only if she had children at the time? So then, the chance of yibum was very, very remote, and therefore there's a high likelihood that her neder was never meant to include the yavam in the first place. Aval ein labonim mevakshin. But if she didn't have children at the time, then mevakshin, because then there's a much higher likelihood that her neder was meant specifically to cover the yavam as well. Ela shmamina, the fact that the Mishnah makes no such distinction shows loishna yesh labonim, loishna in labonim, koifinoise kirab. It shows that regardless if she made the neder b'chaye baila, whether she had children or not, and then we would say like Rab that yavam ain't a kibal, and we actually force him to give her chalitza. Shmamina, so good, that proves it, and that's how it is then. So if she makes such a neder, and then we say that Yavam ain't a kibal, and therefore, so according to Rashi, she would actually be mutter. According to Tosfos, and then that seems to be the more straightforward reading of the Gemara, is we would say that we would force him to give a chalitza. So Rashi, who obviously can't argue with the Gemara, he would say that it means that if if we're not going to do Yibum, then we force him to do chalitza. We say you can't just leave her stuck, as opposed to in cases of mavakshin, we could say, listen, you know, it's not your fault. You, if you don't want to give her chalitza because of the problems that it will create, as we said before, then fine, we can't force you to. But in this case, we could, because the fact is that her neder was not meant to include you in the first place. Therefore, it's not really her fault that now the yibum can't be done. And therefore, it's as much on you as it is on her. And therefore, kofin. Hadron aloch b'shamay. So now we'll start the next paragraph, of course. This is a fairly short paragraph, and I don't know if it's the shortest, but anyway, it is pretty short. It runs only from here until Kofiyot Dalet Amud Beis. It's two dafim, yeah. Anyway, we talked in the previous paragraph about the issue of a cheresh or a chershes, where a cheresh or a chershes, we said, is a deaf mute, where in halacha we consider they don't have das. And when it comes to chalitza, we also have the problem they can't do chalitza because they can't say the relevant psukim. And we said that if they can say them, they just don't, then the chalitza is still kosher. But if they're physically incapable of saying them, then the chalitza is possible. So now our Mishnah, our Perek, is going to deal with various permutations of issues involving chershim in terms of yibum or chalitza. So the Mishnah says, cheresh shenosa pikachas or pikachas shenosa or pikeach shenosa chershis. If either the husband or the wife is a chersh. So now we have to consider the marriage exists only derabanan, because a regular marriage you need the das of both parties, and a cheresh doesn't have das and neither does a cheresh. So if a cheresh marries a pikachas or a pikeach marries a cheresh, either way the marriage exists only derabanan. So in the previous parak we were learning about a ketana where the marriage exists only derabanan. Here we're talking about a cheresh or a cheresh where we said also the marriage exists only derabanan, although we talked about the other day in the Gemara, that's a different kind of derabanan. We ended up saying over there that a ketana is a suffix, we treat as a suffix, whereas a cheresh we treat as an incomplete kin. So either way, if he wants to divorce her, then he can do that. If they want to stay married, then they could. Now, obviously, Tosfos says there's no real chiddush that they can stay married. The point is, since we're mentioning that if they want yotzi, so it mentions also the opposite case. The point is, the Mishnah says, now, what do you mean? How could a cheresh give a get? On the face of it, he needs das. The answer is Kashem Shu Konis Biramiza, Kahu Moitz Biramiza. The same way as he married her with hand signals or sign language or whatever. That, in other words, that the marriage was done not in the usual way of him saying Hareyat Mekudeshes or her hearing that because one of them is a Cheresh. The same way he can be Moitz Biramiza, the same way the marriage exists only Dirabanan. Therefore, the divorce can also be done on a Dirabanan level involving Remiza. So it is a valid divorce. On the other hand, pikeach shenasa pikachas v'nischarsha. Now, on the other hand, if a pikeach marries a pikachas, so they're both normal, and later on she becomes a chershis, so again imrotza yotzi, he still could divorce her because alpi din Torah and alpi din gemara, a divorce doesn't require the wife's consent. It can be baal korcha. V'imrotza yikayim, if he wants, he can stay married to her. On the other hand, the status lo yotzi, but if she becomes a shoita, then he cannot divorce her. Now, in principle, he should be able to, because so what? She doesn't need das. But the point is, the Gemara is going to explain that was a takana of the Chacham. Because a chershis, even though in halacha she lacks das, in practice she's able to actually to keep control of herself, and she's not going to end up hefker, and she's not going to end up on the streets. But a shoita doesn't have the mental ability to do that. Therefore, we're concerned that she's going to end up hefker, that yinago b'minag hefker. People are going to treat her as hefker and then do whatever they want with her. And therefore, the chachamim made a takana that her husband should not divorce her. Continues the Mishnah, nischara shua nishtata, if he became a cheresh or he became a shoita, enem etziya elamis, then he can never divorce her because a get requires his das. This is the kind of thing, by the way, when you're talking about where he became a shoita and then the point that he can't give her a get. There were quite a few cases over the years in Jewish history involving such things that became major controversies where there ended up with a question, is the husband in fact a shoita or not? Can he give a get? There have been many, many Shailos Atruvos written on the subject. There have been several times when these things blew up into major controversies. One of them was, for example, about 250 years ago, something called the Get of Kliva, where there was reason to believe that the husband was a shoita and can't give a get. And so some Rabbanim argued that it is a valid get. And there was a huge machlokas about it for the most part, on the Rabbanim of Frankfurt took one side of it, the Rabbanim of almost all the rest of the Jewish world took the other side, and became a huge controversy. They say that in the end, actually, the guy became normal again, and the two of them reconciled and they got married again. So when he married her, when he remarried her, he said, Hareat Kodeshesli, or something to that effect. He add an extra word over there, like you're still Makodesh to me. And that way it covers all bases. Anyway, yeah, anyway. So the point is, though, that if he's a shoita, or he's a cheresh, then he can't divorce her. Now, what's the difference? Why are you telling me that if she's a cheresh, she could be divorced, but if he's a cheresh, he can't? There's a big difference. Because a woman can be divorced against her will until Cherim Deir Ben Gershon. A man can divorce only with his ratzon. Now, it's a very obvious distinction. How does Rabbi Yechanan Ben Nuri not know that? The Gemara is going to say, the Gemara is going to discuss on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis what Rabbi Yechanan Ben Nuri is getting at, and the Gemara is going to explain that Rabbi Yechanan Ben Nuri is arguing the same way as he can't divorce when he's a cheresh, the same way we shouldn't be allowing him to divorce her when she's a cheresh. He's arguing, in other words, that there should be
parts of cheresh.
Chem Deir Ben Gershom includes that you can't marry two wives, but what's relevant for our purpose is that you can't divorce a woman against her will. But here we're talking, this is before that. So Rabbi Yechanan Ben Nuri is arguing, the Gemara is going to end up saying that he's saying the same way as a cheresh cannot divorce, the same way a cheresh shouldn't be able to be divorced. And the Chachamim are arguing that there's a distinction. So we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow, Bez Hashem, why Rabbi Yechanan Ben Nuri is making that argument and what the Chachamim are answering him. So the Mishnah continues, Hey Rabbi Yechanan Ben Gudgida, al cheresh sheisiyah avia, Rabbi Yechanan Ben Gudgida gave eders in front of the Chachamim, about a ketana who was married off by her father, where that is a kedushin daraisa, that he gave eders, she yotze beget, that she can be divorced by a get. She's a ketana, doesn't matter, doesn't matter, because a ketana, you can divorce even though she lacks das. This is the same Rabbi Yechanan Ben Gudgido, who was one of the gatekeepers in the Bais HaMikdash, and Rabbi Yeshua wanted to help him. But anyway, let's go on. We'll talk biographies afterwards.
Okay.
So now the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yechanan Ben Nuri, the same way as you can divorce a ketana, even though she doesn't have das, the same way you can divorce a cheresh for the same reason. Meaning, Tosfa says, once Rabbi Yechanan Ben Nuri brought up his point that he wants to argue you can't divorce a cheresh, then the Chachamim brought Rabbi Yechanan Ben Gudgida to the Beis Medrash, and he gave his edus, and then the Chachamim turned to Rabbi Yechanan Ben Nuri and said, you see, it's the same kind of thing. Now, the Tosfos explains like this. Rabbi Yechanan, now we're going to learn about Rabbi Yechanan Nuri's opinion tomorrow, but Tosfos points out the reason why Rabbi Yechanan Nuri would argue you can't divorce a cheresh, even though he agrees with Rabbi Yechanan Gudgida that you could divorce a ketana, he says because a cheresh, at the time when you give her the get, she's not going to understand what's going on. You have to have that mishalcha ba'ena chezeres. The definition of a get is that she has enough das to understand this is it, the marriage is over, I'm not returning to this house. A cheresh is not going to be capable of doing that. On the other hand, the Chachamim counter that the difference is that eventually you'll physically remove her from the house, and at that point she'll realize that's it, I'm not coming back. So even though she may not realize at the time of the get, but eventually she does realize. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri doesn't like that idea. He says at the time of the get, she has to be able to realize that, and she can't yet. She's a cheshes. She receives a piece of paper. She doesn't realize that this cuts off her marriage. So therefore, so he said, that's why he says that you can't divorce a cheshes. And the Chacham are telling him the same, no, the same way as you could divorce a ktana, you could divorce a cheshes. Continues the Mishnah. Beis Achin Choshen Nesuin the Beis Achoyes Choshes. If two brothers who are Choshim are married to two sisters who are Choshes, where again, keep in mind the marriage is only the Rabbanon, or the Shtei Achoyes Pitchos, or the two sisters are Pitchos, doesn't matter, either way, the marriage is the Rabbanon because the husbands are Choshim, or the Shtei Achoyes Achas Choshes Vachas Pitachas, or one of them is a Choshes and the other one is a Pitachas. Or the other way around, Beis Achoyes Cherushes Nesuin the Shneachin Pitchin, or the Shneachin Cherushin, or the Shneachin Echad Cherush Lechad Teach, or the other way around, the two women are Cherushes, and the two brothers who are married to them are Pitchin, or Cherushin, or one's Cherush and one Teach. In all cases, because they're sisters, Harei Turim, Nechalitzum, and Ayibum, then they're all potter from Chalitza or Yibum, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, because each one of them is a chois ishtoi to the other one. So if Reuven passes away, then Shimon is married to Leah. So Rachel is potter from Chalitza or Yibum because he's married to her sister, and therefore she's a chois ishtoi. On the other hand, if the women were not sisters, if they're unrelated, then then either brother can do Yibum with them. If they want to divorce them, then they could, because in all these cases, either the surviving brother is a pikeach and he's able to give a get, a regular get, or he's a cheresh, but it doesn't matter because in that case, then the marriage was derabanan because either he or his brother or one or the other of the women was a chereshes, and therefore the marriage was only derabanan. And again, the same way as the marriage was derabanan, the same way the divorce can be done derabanan. So if the surviving brother is a cheresh, then fine, he can be megarish b'remiza, like we said earlier in the Mishnah. On the other hand, if the two brothers, one is a cheresh, one is a pikeach, nesuin the shtei achoyes pitchos, where they're married to two sisters who are pitchos, so now you have a twist because now one of those marriages is derabanan and the other one is derais. So nes cheresh bala pikachas. So if the cheresh who's married to the pikachas dies, ma yasa pikeach bala pikachas. So now what does the pikeach who's married to her sister the pikachas do? The answer is teitz mishum achoyes isha. The answer is that the wife of the cheresh is potter on the grounds of achoyes isha because her sister's marriage is daraisa. Her marriage was only derabanan, and it doesn't really matter whether her own marriage was daraisa or derabanan. Either way, her sister's marriage is daraisa, and therefore it means that you have a case of achoyes ishtoi, and therefore she's potter on those grounds, as in the usual case of achoyes ishtoi. On the other hand, mes pikeach baal pikachas, ma yasa pikeach baal achoshes. Now, though, if the pikeach who is I'm skipping lines over here. So mes pikeach baal pikachas. So we said if the cheresh dies, no problem. His wife was married only to Rabbanon. The other couple was married daraisa. So therefore, she's potter on the grounds of achoyes. Nes pikeach baal pikachas, ma yasa cheresh baal pikachas. On the other hand, if the pikeach married to the pikachas dies, what does the cheresh who's married to the pikachas do? Where after all, the yavama's marriage was daraisa. Therefore, her zika is daraisa. The cheresh's marriage with his wife is only to Rabbanon. Therefore, he has to divorce his own wife with a get because the fact that the zika with her sister makes his wife also to him because the zika daraisa overrides his marriage rabbanon. Meanwhile, his brother's wife is going to be also forever because, again, he can't do chalitza with her being a cheresh. He can't do yibum because her sister, his wife, who was married to him, the rabbanon, is still alive. So therefore, the yavama is stuck until somebody in this group over here dies. Next, shneach and pichin nisuin the shteachoyes achas cherushes v'achas pikachas. What about the other way around? Now the Gemara is going to point out that on the cherush is not chayev mitzvahs. Why are we requiring him to divorce his wife? So what? She's also to him as a chois ishtoi. A cherush is not chayev mitzvahs. That's going to lead us into the whole discussion of katan oichel nevelas that we touched on before. continues the Mishnah. Shnei achin pitchin nisuin the shnei achoyes achas cherushes v'achas betachas. If the two brothers are pitchin and they're married to two sisters, one a cherushes and one a betachas, so again, one marriage is daraisa, one derabanan. Mes pikeach baal cherushes. So if the one married to the cherushes dies, ma yasa pikeach baal betachas. So the pikeach, the one who's married to the betachas, what does he do? Ketz mishum achoyes isha. Fine, the cherushes is potter on the grounds of achoyes isha, because again, his marriage with her sister is daraisa, and therefore that's enough that the sister is potter as an heir. Nes pikeach baal pikachas, mayas pikeach baal cherushes. On the other hand, if the pikeach dies, if the pikeach married to the pikachas dies, what does the pikeach who's married to the cherushes do? Same, so there, Motzias ish de beget. He has to divorce his wife of the get for the same reason, because he has the zika of her sister that makes her also to him. And again, his own marriage is only the Rabbanon. His brother's marriage is the Daraisa. So therefore, it overrides it. But here, Ves Eshes Achub Bachalitza, he being a Bekeach, then he can give her Chalitza. Because the Yavam and the Yavama are both Pikhim. So therefore, we can do Chalitza normally, no problem. Now, what happens if the cheresh is married to a cheresh and the pekeach to a pekachas, and their two brothers married to two sisters? So then, mes cheresh baal cheresh mayas pekeach baal pekachas. So now, if the cheresh whose wife was a cheresh dies, what does the pekeach baal pekachas do? Again, ketz mishum achoyes isha. Again, the yavama is potter because she's his wife's sister, and his marriage with his own wife is daraisa. If the pikeach dies, then what do we do as far as the pikeachas? What does the cheresh do? Same way as before, the cheresh has to divorce his wife, the cheresh, for the same reason as before, because he's also to him now as a chos to kukasai. Meanwhile, the actual yuvama is stuck because he can't do yibum because of a chos ishtoi, and he can't do chalitza because he's a cheresh. Another case, Shnei Achen Echad Cheresh Ve'Echad Pekeach Nesuin the Shnei Nochri is Pekeach. Now what happens is the two wives, the brothers are one Cheresh, one Pekeach. The women are both Pekeach, but unlike in the previous case where they're sisters, now they're not related. So now we don't have to worry about the Achos Isha issue, but there's still the question, who can do Yibam and who can do Chalitza? So mes cheresh baal pekachas. So if the cheresh married to the pekachas dies, ma yasa pekeach baal pekachas. So what does the pekeach do? No problem. Then you have a regular case of zika where you can do either chalitza or yibum, because the yavam and the yavama are both pekeach. Mes pekeach baal
pekachas.
Right. So, but the zika is daraisa. But so it's a zika is daraisa. But it's a regular. There's no problem of achos ishtei because the two women are not related. So therefore, so the pekeach can do the regular yibum or chalitz. Mes cheresh baal mes. So where are we? So then you do as usual. You can do either chalitza or yibum as the regular case. Mes pikeach baal pikachas. Now, if the pikeach who's married to the pikachas dies, ma yasa cheresh baal pikachas. What does the cheresh do? Koines vein imotzi loylam. He marries the yavama because yibum he can do even as a cheresh, but he can't ever do chalitza because as a cheresh he can't do chalitza. Nor can he give a get because again he can't give a get either for the same reason because as a cheresh he can't give a get. Shnei achim pitchin nesuin the beis nachrius. What if the two brothers are pitchin and they're married to two unrelated women? Achas pikachas vachas cherushes. Mes pikeach baal cherushes mayas pikeach baal pikachas. Koines, so he can do yibum. He has to do yibum. He can't do chalitza because the yivama is a cherushes. So he can't do chalitza with her because she can't say the words. Vimrata lahoitzi yotzi. If he wants to divorce her afterwards, he could because divorce doesn't require her das. Nes pikeach baal pikachas mayas pikeach baal cherushes. Oicholot semiyab. If the Yavam and the Yavama are both Pikhim, so then Cholatzim Yavam is a problem. The Mishnah continues. Shnei achen echad cheresh ve'echad b'keach nesuin lebeis nochris achas cheresh v'achas b'kachas. If the two brothers are married, one is a cheresh, one is a b'keach, and they're married respectively to a cheresh and a b'kachas, mes cheresh ba'al cheresh mayas b'keach ba'al b'kachas koinus. So he marries the b'kachas. So the b'keach marries the cheresh. V'imrotza lahoitzi yotzi. If he wants to divorce her afterwards, he could, because again chalitza they can't do, but he could do, give her a get because that doesn't require her das. And it doesn't require her to say anything. So if the pekeach dies, and now the pekeachas is up for yibum, what does the cheresh do? The cheresh marries the pekeachas. There is nothing you can do after that. Chalitza is not possible because he's a cheresh, and a get is not possible again because he's a cheresh. So that covers all the various. So the Gemara is not really going to analyze, and the Gemara is going to analyze some of these cases. But it's more the Gemara is going to analyze the underlying principles behind these cases, because the cases themselves, once we understand the basic rules, for example, that a cheresh and a chereshes can't do yibum, and that a daraisa zika overrides a derabanan one, then it all becomes fairly obvious. So it's more the Gemara is going to deal with in this paragraph the underlying principles under all the dinim and
armish. It almost seems that the Mishnah could have just mentioned the underlying.
The Mishnah could have mentioned the underlying principle, but it wouldn't have been so clear. It's very common in complicated cases like this that the Mishnah will often teach out the details for us, so we have them in front of us.
Also, because people memorize.
Yeah, also because, yeah.
And to memorize some kind of formula would be.
Well, that maybe not. I mean, Lord Mishan Adam Samidir Derek Tzara, in fact, but still, right. Yeah. Okay. To be continued tomorrow.